On today, August 6th version of Money with Friends, Apple posts big third quarter earnings. What does that have to do with you and your money? We're going to talk about that today with thought leader Peter Dunn, Pete the Planner from Hey Money on today's Money with Friends. Welcome back to the Money with Friends podcast, coming to you live from my mom's half-finished basement now in Stowe, Vermont. I'm Joe Salcihi.
I'm Peter Dunn, coming to you from Carmel, Indiana, the roundabout capital of the world. It's true. Look it up.
It is. Hashtag maybe fake news, maybe not. This is the podcast where we cover recent stories ripped from the financial press. Today, we're going to tackle one from CNBC.com. Not only do we read them like some podcasts, but we're going to dive into how they affect your wallet and what you can do to invest, save, and pay down debt more effectively. And if that's not enough, Pete and I, well, guess what? We're going to share a big idea at the end of today's show you can take with you to be better with money the rest of your day, and all, hopefully, in around 20 minutes. Today's show is brought to you by Tiller Money. Optimize your financial life in Google Sheets or in Microsoft Excel with fast automatic transaction imports, easy templates, and a free 30-day trial. To learn more, head to tillerhq.com/MWF. And if you use that link, MWF, not only will you get the free 30-day trial, but you also tell them that we set you, as they say. Well, a guy that we're happy to have back with us again is Mr. Pete the Planner. How are you, dude?
Good. You started, you're like, ah, guy, we're excited to have back with you. And I'm like, when's he coming on? And it turns out it was me. And now I'm glad to be here.
He's like, good. We got a special guest. Jimmy Buffett joining us? Who's?
It's Margaritaville.
Yeah. What we need is a third older white guy on this show.
Absolutely. Because that would be the ultimate podcast.
Well, what is more fun than two white guys talking tech on a podcast? Us talking about tech and what it has to do with your money on a podcast. Oh, hold me back. Let's see which friends can help us kick off today's show.
This is Lacey from the Military Money Show. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, it's time for our headlines.
All right. This piece is written by Kif Leswing, and it comes to us from CNBC.com. Apple posts blowout third quarter with sales up 11% despite coronavirus disruptions. Apple reported a historic strong quarter on Thursday, including $59.7 billion in revenue and double-digit growth in its products and services segments, blowing away analyst estimates in a period deeply impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. The company also announced it plans to give investors 3 additional shares of Apple per share already owned at the end of August as a part of 4-to-1 stock split. Apple saw widespread retail closures during the quarter, especially in the United States, but touted both work-from-home trends and strong online sales is delivering a boost to overall operations.
The company declined to issue guidance for the second quarter in a row due to uncertainty from the pandemic, but Apple CFO Luca Maestri said on a call with analysts that the company expects iPhone supply in the fall to be delayed for a few weeks. Apple usually releases new iPhones in late September, but the coronavirus pandemic has disrupted schedules and nearly halted business travel. Apple shares gained more than 6% in extended trading following this here report. Here's how the company did for the quarter ended June 27th compared with analyst expectations based on Refinitiv consensus. I can't talk today. Consensus estimates. We're conscious of the fact that these results stand in stark relief during a time of real economic adversity for businesses, large and small, and uncertainty for families. That was the voice of CEO Tim Cook.
It's interesting because the earnings per share were up versus estimates, revenue, iPhone revenue, services revenue. They have all this broken down, Pete. And the reason that I like pieces like this, especially on a show like we have, but you see these all the time, right? A company missed estimates or a company beat estimates. And yet I thought to myself one day, several years ago, I'm like, what if my clients, back when I was a financial planner, what if my clients could set up quarterly estimates? And I could ask them, I could say, hey, where are you going to be at the end of the quarter? And they could estimate. And wouldn't it be funny too? People like you and I, we could have our own estimates. No, I don't think you're going to meet it. Or yeah, I bet you beat estimates next quarter. Like, how fun would that be?
Yeah, it's like, oh, you exceeded analyst exponent. I can't talk today. Expectations. And then at that point in time, you know they're not necessarily overachieving, because if we know our clients well enough, maybe you don't have a lot of faith in them and you went low with their predictions.
Yeah, when you work with clients in your practice or with Hey Money, how often do you talk about some of this business lingo and kind of get people to think more like a CFO than an emotional homeowner?
Yeah, it really depends on their background and the industry they're currently in. We try to speak the language of people, as you know, Joe, working with people. Sometimes you're speaking to an engineer and it behooves you to not get conceptual and maybe get into the details. Whereas maybe sometimes you're talking to a sculptor and getting into the data really doesn't serve anyone in the conversation. So like many chameleons or terminators, we try to just blend in with the surroundings and help people the way they need help.
But that is interesting, I think, for any communication that you have. If you want to meet people, you've got to meet them where they are. I mean, not that you weren't just having fun with that, but there is some seriosity in what you're talking about.
There absolutely is. But I never cease to be amazed at Apple for a couple different reasons. Number one, they arguably are the number one best marketed organization in the history of mankind. I mean, their marketing and advertising is unbelievable. So when I think about this move to the 4-to-1 stock split, I also think at it from a shareholder standpoint or a prospective shareholder standpoint. And I think, wow, they also have the best investor relations strategy in the history of mankind, because it is systemic within their culture. They are going to cater to the needs of their audience. And in this case, Joe, it's their shareholders. And I think it's wonderful.
Let's talk about why that is, because I think a lot of the time people think, hey, guess what? I'm getting these shares for free. So that's a lot more money. It really doesn't give anybody, though, Pete, a lot more money.
No, it doesn't. It makes you feel wealthier, oddly enough, because you have more shares. And after this was announced, what was nuts is, and predictably nuts, is how much the share price went up, because it accomplished its intended consequence, which was to generate interest, make people feel like the shares will be affordable again. And so they've done it, they've done it before. I think they did a 7-to-1 stock split not too many years ago. So they know what they're doing. And it's a technique that companies used to use all the time. You just don't see it a lot anymore.
With people now able to buy single share transactions and even buying, partial share transactions, whether it's buying Berkshire Hathaway, and I think the quote yesterday was like $1 billion a share, or Tesla shares through the roof, Amazon, whatever it might be. This used to be, I remember back in the day, Pete, having a couple old guy conversation here, that the reason you'd have a stock split was because people would buy in 100 share increments, right, to make it affordable. And so you want to keep the price around maybe $20, $30 a share so that people can afford it. Now that we can buy a single share and the fee to buy it's zero, or we can buy a partial share, is there any reason to do the stock split besides investor relation?
Not to my knowledge, or not that I would think. My first stock I ever purchased, which I talk about all the time ad nauseum, was Philip Morris. I was buying tobacco stocks as a 12-year-old. I bought one share, and it eventually split. So then I had 3 shares of tobacco stock. And I liked it because I was 12 and it seemed exciting. Nowadays, well,
were you helping the company by smoking behind the garage, trying to keep profits up?
Well, no, because I was a really slow, mediocre athlete and I didn't want anything else to weigh me down other than my own self. So I did not use tobacco products. But I will tell you this, and I say this half in jest and kind of cruel and petty. I wonder who explained the stock split to the Robinhood investors. Sorry, that's not fair. That's not fair. But I did make that comment to a friend when it all happened, because that is such an old school thing happening to this new platform audience. It probably was confusing.
I was thinking there might be a few things, although I don't understand why you would crack the Robinhood joke anyway, because Robinhood investors won't even get the joke. So I think that when it comes to this, I can think of maybe a couple of reasons. Maybe when it comes to employee incentives, new employees, as Apple's growing and they give them stock. I mean, now they don't have to put out as big an outlay, so they can use this as employee motivation, but be a little bit more off the hook for, you know, giving up a lot of money. I don't know. A second thing is maybe when they do acquisitions, you know, being able to split up the share price so they can be a little more granular with if they buy new companies using stock to buy it.
Potentially. I mean, maybe they don't like the vibe of, you know, potentially reaching a 4-digit stock price. I mean, which would happen over time. I mean, some people don't like the feel of Amazon or Google or these giant price stocks. They like the more boutique feel, you know, a boutique feel, like the highest valued company in the world, like Apple.
Yeah. We do this show live with our friends on Facebook and on YouTube. Rockstar on YouTube, by the way, said, boom, roasted Robinhood users. Yes, you were. Rebecca says, interesting discussion on Facebook recently explaining stock splits. So much misinformation. I totally agree with that, Rebecca. Don't you, Pete? I see all the time people think that they're going to have more money because of this stock split.
Yeah, it will not change your financial standing unless the popularity of that stock increases alongside of it. I tend to gather a lot of misinformation from Facebook, primarily from people who did not do well in my 7th grade world history course. They tend to know a lot now. And I think it's great, and I learn a lot from them. And so I think that should be the same with investing, too.
I don't know that I could continue with the show. You got to stop. Let's talk about personal finance in this back to that analogy, because there's a few things in here I think that are important. Because if I look at this company, Apple, Pete, and I look at what they do, and I think about, okay, how can I apply some of this to my own personal situation? I look at a few things. Number one, they have this split down between all the different income streams that they have, right? Apple worried about not just focus on one thing. We tell people that maybe it's a good idea to have multiple income streams. Apple's looking at, hey, how much money am I making over here? Am I making over there? And one line item that we didn't get to in the piece that's later on down, Tim Cook talks about, the CEO talks about services and about how some things, as an example, like the number of people that are on their subscription TV service, the number of people buying apps through the App Store. In a lot of ways, Pete, that's passive money. I mean, that's money that once they get that platform set up you know, whether it's one user or 50 users, there's a time, or 5 million users, at a certain break-even point, every single dollar falls to the bottom line. Like, thinking about how you make money in that aspect, I think is good for the average person listening to this show.
Subscription-based wealth building is accessible for the common person. It really is. I mean, the best example, easiest example, is a real estate empire. An empire is a little aggressive, but you have a rental, maybe you have a duplex or something like that. I've recently become strangely addicted to a YouTube channel. It's this guy who owns laundromats, and then, like, he puts on a GoPro and he walks in and he counts all the change in his coin counter, and you learn nothing other than how much money a laundromat can make. And I, Joe, these are like 37-minute long video. And at this point, I've told my wife, I'm like, I'm tired of going up to bed. And I go up to bed and I lay in bed because she stays up later than me. And I'm watching this not in great shape fella, not with a great broadcasting voice, not with a great camera setup, just counting money at an Ohio laundromat. And it's my favorite thing in my life.
I wonder about you more every single episode we make of this show.
I'll send you a link. It is mesmerizing. The other day, he was doing it, and he's like, I have a Coke machine outside my laundromat. It holds 850 cans of Coke. This is real. That's a real number. Then he's got this game, like this coin shover thing that he uses because it allows him to bring people in, but then they use the bill changer, and then he gets more. Anyway, to your point, this is exactly what Apple does.
Yeah. Yeah. multiple streams of income. One person comes in. I mean, think about that laundromat. That's so great. They come in, they put money in the machine. Once he's installed the machine, he only has to make X amount of money. And then it's basic maintenance, I would imagine, right? Until the machine wears out. So your cost is limited. And then every dollar after that falls to the bottom line. But while they're waiting, installing the Coke machine, the money changer, if he's skimming and, you know, don't know about that, additional services like a laundromat that I used to use back in the day, that one also had the laundromat, you know, where I could take my suits over there and have somebody do that. So I'd associated other services there, video games, you know,
sure, little light massage. I don't know if that's true or not. It seemed like it fit there, but it really is no different than what Apple does. All their products are completely integrated. I always think about like the great integrations of all time. And I think there are two. There's Apple, right? Because your phone to your computer, to your TV, to the app stores and how they impact your life. I think about some of the apps on my phone, which I would not have without Apple, and how much they mean to me and to my own physical fitness. And then I think of another organization. I think of, well, the franchise Toy Story. I've always felt that is the most genius concept of all time, where you have a movie about toys. Oh, and then by the way, you can go buy the toys, which I think is the, and as it proves with the box office, it's the most genius marketing thing of all time, because then you are in the movie. And now I sound like an old guy rambling on about a movie I saw like 17 years ago.
Susan hanging out here says that I have a dream of a luxury laundromat, coffee bar, etc. Susan, you should make one. You should just go make it. Although, you know, at some point when you start offering some of those services, it ends up being not where it falls to the bottom line, right? I mean, this idea that if I could have a podcast where somebody could just stand in and do the whole thing for me, then it would be like, why didn't you and I think about that?
That's true. We need a digital laundromat. Oh, that's like, isn't that the name of like some marketing firm in Albuquerque? Come to us, a digital laundromat. And they're like, poof, 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 poof. We'll do your social hub, blogging, vlogging. You know what I mean?
You could see the absolutely horrible like 50s lettering, yeah, for that. We got the marketing scheme that we should do it. Yeah. The thing
about the laundromat that works is, right, you hire some person at minimum wage who just sits there. It's the only employee, and they just make sure that people don't ride the laundry machines, right? That's all they have to do. No offense to anybody. And then you just stack the money. Whereas a luxury event or a luxury thing, you get more people involved, you get more services, your payroll grows. I mean, the simplest business in the world is a laundromat, and that's why I'm addicted to that channel.
You know, you were talking about some people on social media lately, proving how intelligent they are. Some of the intelligent arguments I've seen lately have been people, to use our friend Jordan Harbinger's word, stank. I remember he talking about, you know, somebody achieves something or does something and somebody throws, quote, stank all over it. But yeah, I've seen people throw a lot of stank in the way of Apple or Amazon or Microsoft saying, oh, look at them all profiting while everybody else is hurting. Well, wait a minute. These guys had the foresight to create a business that would weather this storm, right? And whether you agree or disagree with what they make, they thought ahead of time about having a business with a good business continuity plan. And I feel like a lot of the time people are in an industry, and it's okay being in a seasonal industry or being in an industry that's cyclical or whatever it might be, but Pete, not thinking about the shelf life of that industry and when that industry is going to end or when my job might go away, I think is a big mistake to not prep for that.
I absolutely think so. And you brought up putting stank on a person's name. It made me think what's happening with The Rock this week, who bought the XFL for $15 million. People are hating on that idea. But Joe, to this point that you've been making this entire podcast, is A, he's diversifying his income streams and his business interests, because not only is he one of the world's biggest movie stars, but he also is a business person with multiple interests, TV shows, movies, all these sorts of things. But also, it's like, if Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and yes, I call him Dwayne because we're that close, if he wants to spend $15 million of his and other people's money, because he has investors on it, What do I know? I'm guessing he's done the research and understands the risk more than some loser like me sitting at home as a keyboard warrior going, oh, the XFL's failed twice. It'll fail a third time. Rock. Like, people love to hate on successful people, whether it's Jeff Bezos or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who, the reason I bring this up, because I look at you here in this camera and in the monitor, I was like, you're a spitting image.
Yeah, we do. Well, I'm ripped a little more than him. And I feel a little bad for him not being able to bring it like I can. Hey, in just a minute, Pete and I, we're going to have our takeaways from today's piece. And I'm sure Pete's is going to be way bigger and better than mine. Easy for me to say. But while we let Pete dream up the best way to end this podcast, let's talk a little bit about Tiller Money, because Tiller is what I use to manage my money. What I like most about it is that my spreadsheet updates every day by itself without me doing anything. All that I have to do then is decide where they go. And what's cool is that Cheryl and I have a weekly meeting. It's very short. It's over either pancakes or wine, depending on what day it is and what time of day it is. And when we have that meeting, we just go through our Tiller stuff and keep it really easy. You know, Tiller, Pete was talking earlier about some people who are engineers. You can have a phenomenal spreadsheet with all kinds of stuff, or you can be more like the artist that he was talking about, which is more my brand of spreadsheet, where I just keep it simple. I know my basic line items and I can move very quickly doing a lot of different things. So no matter how you like your data, the cool thing about Tiller is that you get the data the way you want because it's all spreadsheet based. And now with Microsoft Money being reintegrated by Excel, it makes it pretty exciting. For those of us old timers, Pete, that used to live on Microsoft Money, remember those days and the number of people? God.
Yes, I remember getting the new CD-ROM every year so I could update my Microsoft. I loved Microsoft Money back in the day.
Financial nerds just crying when that went away. So to get a free month and to check it out, head to tillerhq.com, put in a /MWF to tell them that we sent you, tillerhq.com/MWF. Pete, this big Apple quarter, what's our takeaway here?
I think a diverse stream of revenue, whether it's an organization such as Apple, the highest valued organization in the world, or your own household, you and your old man sitting in your household every month, say, where's this money coming in? Let's take a look in the next few months and see what's going to happen. I think it's a lot of, that's my takeaway, Joe. I stole your takeaway because that's what you taught me. So therefore, your takeaway is going to be something I taught you. So you might not have one.
I love the fact that you preempt me. That's fantastic. But yeah. I do like that, Pete. I don't think we do it enough as people. I think we don't compare ourselves to companies enough. I think too often when I used to be in the business, Pete, that you're in, meeting with people and talking about their money, I would find that too many people who were incredibly smart people would do a great job at work managing the assets of a company that they get paid a fixed amount for. And then when they would come home to their own house where they have blue sky potential and they get all emotional and make horrible decisions. It's like we wasted all our great brain cells making somebody else money. So thinking as yourself is a business, what are my quarterly estimates going to be for the next quarter? Am I going to come in ahead or behind? What's my strategy to get there? And how am I going to protect my downside? I think those are important things for us. Every bit is important. And how great for our next headline to be, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Sixpack beat quarterly estimates. That'd be fantastic.
I love it. I consider that stolen, my friend.
Hey, I got a question for you. I heard that you're the CEO of a company called Hey Money. Is that true?
It is true. So Hey Money is accessible financial guidance. It isn't financial planning. It isn't investment management. It's people that got a lot of stuff going on in their financial life. They got to make decisions. How much house can I afford? How much car can I afford? Do I save for college or retirement? Or, hey, I found myself with less hours, less bonus opportunities, less income. What do we do? So we're a group of professional financial problem solvers that can be your friend, your financial friend, for just $19.99 a month.
And it's all available at?
CallHeyMoney.com. That's CallHeyMoney.com.
I like how you got the little radio announcer voice going there. Very good.
Well, I am a radio announcer, so that made sense.
Well, bad news for Rockstar joining us on YouTube says, Microsoft, hope your next topic is going to be TikTok and Microsoft. Unfortunately for Rockstar, Pete is busy making TikTok dance videos, too busy to talk about that. We're actually going to talk about millennials and how millennials have really been beaten up by COVID. And before he really starts dancing, we'll sign off. He's Pete. I'm Joe. We'll see you back here again tomorrow on Money with Friends. Bye-bye. This show's created and hosted by us, Joe Saul-Sehy and Bobby Rebel, and it's edited and produced by Ashley Wall. Money with Friends is a product of Money with Friends LLC, copyright 2020.
For a list of the thought leaders who appear on the podcast and links to the stories discussed, head to our website, moneywithfriendspodcast.com. You can also check out our schedule for upcoming recording sessions so you can join us and be part of the show. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at Money Friends Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Look out for our polls and quizzes. You could get a shout out on the show.
We're well worth following, we promise. As with anything, remember you shouldn't take advice from any of us or any other videos or podcasts without first talking to your financial advisor. These people on this episode, they're here for your and their entertainment purposes only.
I'm Bobby.
I'm Joe.
We'll see you here back next time with another episode of Money with Friends.
Bam, nailed it.